Your mom shouldn't have this many pages open.
It's a show by Chris and Neil with all great movies. They are the real deal. We watch them all, so you don't have to. It's movies that don't suck and some that do.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, listeners of all ages, this is a new episode of Movies That Don't Suck and Some Do. My name is Neil.
I'm Chris.
And today we're going to be covering two movies out there for your viewing world. Now, before we get into these two movies, I just want you to know, coming up soon will be a bunch of data episodes for a wonderful thing that we love to call Panic Fest. Chris went to Panic Fest. I couldn't go this year because while Chris was at Panic Fest, I don't know, where was I?
You were in Philadelphia.
Oh, yeah. I was at WrestleMania 40. Now, I love Panic Fest, and Panic Fest is a great place to go. Everybody should go. But I was at WrestleMania on the floor. So that's like saying, hey, do you want to go to the theme park down the road, or do you want a week at Disney World? And it's like, and try to compare the two. They're both great. They're both amazing.
Awesome. I would say that Panic Fest was, I mean, every year it's my favorite time of year. So
I know. And I wanted to go. And I mean, next year it's happening for sure, because I'm not going to go to WrestleMania again. That was expensive as F. And plus, how can I top the greatest WrestleMania of all time?
John Cena was there, right?
John Cena was only a bit of it, man. Like, it was, I'll talk about it here. Let's actually tell these people what movies we're covering. The first movie that we're covering today is a movie that's not even out on a platform until next week or two.
Yeah.
It is a movie that Chris forced me to watch on this platform. I don't know what it was, but I found it and I watched it. And he told me if I didn't watch it, that he would hate me and we'd no longer be friends. So I had to watch this movie, and that movie is called Hundreds of Beavers. Now, this is not the porno Hundreds of Beavers. This is an actual movie that exists. Do you have any clips for any of the people in this film?
No, because it's mostly no dialogue in this movie. It's like
it's a silent movie.
But there's sound effects and there's music, but it's supposed to be like a golden era of cartoon type movie.
Yeah, we'll talk about more in depth of that here in a second.
I do have a clip for it though.
Okay, go for it.
Yeah. That's what a beaver sounds like, by the way.
I don't remember hearing that.
I'm not sure it was in the movie, but I wanted to get a picture of
beaver. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. I don't even know what the heck you just did, bro.
What did you do? What it? All right, what's the other movie?
But anyway,
yeah.
The second movie that we did is one that we missed about a month or two ago. Mm-hmm. And the reason being is, I only mentioned this once, I can't go out to the theater right now. I am sick. Mm-hmm. I during my travels, I got a cold, and I don't want to give it to anybody else. Mm-hmm. So I could not go out. And I've only been home for, 48 hours, if that.
Yeah.
So in the last 48 hours, I watched these movies, put together the podcast as quickly and as good as I possibly could. Mm-hmm. And the second movie is one that we were dying to see before, and we finally got to see it. And that is Bob Marley, One Love.
Yeah, who's in the movie?
I don't know. He was on the
list. Kingsley Benadire.
Friends, yes, ma'am. Friends, yes, ma'am. His friend, and that is why I am trying to give him a wake-up call. There is no more room for anyone, not you, not me, not Jimmy, not Sam, no one to be standing on the fence anymore. Our people are literally dying in the streets every day. Black people are dying.
That's from One Night in Miami, where Kingsley Benadire is playing Malcolm X, but this one plays Bob Marley.
Oh, I was like wondering what we were talking about.
This is and also this stars Lashana Lynch.
Look, this all seems like heaven, this little bubble or whatever. But it's so obvious you're a man who only has time to kill, nothing to live for. Zvado Oprachev is off limits. You get in my way, I will put a bullet in your knee. The one that works.
That's from No Time to Die. She plays the
Lieutenant Diane.
No Time to Die in 007.
She's No Time to Die. I thought you said Lieutenant Dan. That's how out of it I am.
That's Lieutenant Dan. Also, the stars Anthony Welsh as Don Taylor.
I got mixer. I didn't go out especially. I was going anyway. Whoa.
Sorry.
Swan, you missed. You all right?
Yeah.
Let's get this out of the way.
No, it's okay. You don't have to.
Hey, what did you eat?
I'm disgusting, though. They're sick on the street.
A fox will eat it. No, that's disgusting.
That's from a show called Pure. It came out in the UK.
Yeah, I remember that.
And then finally, I have another clip for James Norton.
I asked for leave. I will take care of the children.
Oh, John.
One other thing, you should send your fabric to the dressmaker as soon as possible.
I can't.
No, I don't want to hear another word. I want you to have that dress. My old coat will be fine for the winter.
John,
it's all settled.
John, I really can't. I sold the fabric to Sally.
You did. I don't want you to be unhappy.
That's from Little Women.
Holy cow.
Yeah, so...
I remember Little Women. That's one of your favorite movies.
No, it's not. But that was
Well, you didn't like you didn't like Big Women, but you like Little Women.
Oh, Greta Gerwig directed that one, by the way. In case you were wondering.
I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
I'm just kidding. But
I'm not kidding.
We're fucking here, man. And it's been.
I know where you live.
Yeah, you do. You can make it here. Probably. Could you make it here without like GPS? You think?
What?
You can be here without GPS, right? Just like straight from memory to my place.
Can I drive from one place to another without GPS?
Yeah, to me, like without using it at all.
Oh, to your house right now?
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
If I use Shawnee Mission Parkway.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Right. From Shawnee Mission Parkway, because I know to take the right next to the liquor store, go down, and then you go down two over next to the house with the picket fence, and there's like two, and then you go that way, and then your house is down on the left.
Okay.
See, see?
All right, man.
Man, yeah. So, how's Panic Fest?
It was incredible, dude. I'm movied out, but I was there most nights. I was not there Monday or Tuesday, but I was there Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Wednesday, the final closing night, to see Boy Kills World in Infested. And I'll tell you, man, I'm beat. it's kind of exhausting, but I had a great time.
Dude, you're exhausted.
Yeah, no,
I had to walk everywhere. I have like shin splints for like 6 months on my legs, bro. Yeah. Like I was at a place with over 71,000 people on a daily basis, like over 48% higher than the WrestleMania before. Viewership was up 41% from the year before. And it was the highest grossing, highest back. I mean, again, look at this. Just look at this. This is just from my view from sitting down. Like, look at that.
How often were you seated, though? I mean, like it was, you know, like, you know.
Back and forth. You go back and forth. Because it's like, it'll be like 1 second, all of a sudden you'll be like, bam, you're sitting down. The next second, here comes the next big guy. But then we got to meet, you know, like we kept running around meeting people. There's the biggest moment of the weekend. That's Cody Rhodes' finishing story after 2 years. But then, like, we got to hang out with Kurt Angle.
Yeah, look at that.
Like, he was cool as hell.
Didn't you meet a guy in the plane that was on the plane to Philadelphia? Like,
I didn't load that picture up. Yeah, but Bobby Lashley was, like, literally, he was right behind us. And I'll tell the story, and then we'll get into everything.
Yeah.
I was sitting on the plane, and you know how you have my seat, my friend Topher was right next to me, and he got that little space in between. I look behind, and me and Bobby Lashley's eyes meet at the same time. And I was like, you know, but mine went like, you know, like I knew who the fuck he was. And he was like, like I saw in his eyes. And so we're like the rest of the plane, right? He kept his head down against his back of the seat. And I didn't bother him the whole plane, right? Did not bother him. We got off the plane. It's 1:30 in the morning in Philadelphia by the time we get there. And literally, I just go up to him and I'm like, hey, man, I obviously know who you are. Can I just get a quick pic over here before if anybody else notices you? I don't want to bother you again. And he's like, man, that is nice of you to ask to even do that. Yeah, I'll be more than happy to. And then my friends came off right at the same time. And I was like, well, they're obviously going to want a picture. And like he was then after that he was like hiding and trying to hide himself, which it's hard to hide yourself when you're that big of a massive man. Because he is a big dude, and he just like looks around and realizes we're the only four guys to know who the hell he is. And so then he kind of comes over a little bit more towards us, and then we start just having a great conversation with him because he gets it. Okay, you're not the asshole stalker guys.
You're just
wrestling fans, and so we had some great conversation with him. Really nice guy, really sweet. He did great the weekend. He won a match against the Final Resolution on Sunday, but Chris, that doesn't matter. Chris, you got to tell people where they can find us.
You can find us on Online Movies Don't Suck.net. We're on Facebook at facebook.com/MoviesDon'tSuck Podcast. We're on Twitter, X, MTS Podcast. You guys go there. There's a bunch of pictures I posted and tweeting life, tweeting festival. Also, you can find us on Instagram at MTS Podcast. We're on Patreon, patreon.com/MoviesDon'tSuck. Give us $2 if you like what we do. Also, go to MoviesDon'tSuck. And something you do, you'll find our shirt with our logo on, a bunch of stuff Neil's made. And where you find podcasts, you can find Movies Don't Suck and Some That Do. Neil, who are we talking about today?
Chris, I'm so glad you asked this. Chris, there's this kind of music that came out in the 70s, and I don't know if you liked it or not.
Is it disco?
But I was kind of a big fan.
Is it disco?
I was a big fan of it.
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
No. It's called punk rock.
Uh-huh.
And this place I went to was the most punk rock place you could ever go to in the city of Philadelphia. That's right. The one, the only place known as Crash Bang Boom on 4th and South in Philly. Now, Crash Bang Boom is a punk rock heaven of everything from t-shirts to stuff. That's Steph and, oh gosh, what's his name? I forgot his name. Give me a second. I got all the info right here. That is Steph and Rob. And we hung out with them. Every place we went, for some reason, because of our green hair and stuff like that, people thought that we were in a rock band. And those two were just so nice. They got everything from t-shirts, old band shirts, like everything from you know, like Dead Kennedy shirt, stuff like that. They are Philadelphia's premier.
Yeah,
dude. They are seriously Philadelphia's premier punk rock and roll shop, just a few paces off the world-famous South Street. Alternative apparel for punks, goth, metalheads, and rockers. Crash Bang Boom offers tons of cool stuff that you are not going to find at any fucking mall. What you see here on their site is just a sample of what they have. You can call them up, and they'll send you stuff. They are cool as hell. Band tees, leather jackets, girls' clothing, guys' clothing, footwears, handbags, belt, accessories, manic panic, hair dye, makeup, jewelry, all the above. They even have secondhand consignment section as well. They are just, it's Stephanie Jules and Rob Winfielder. And I mean, the Dead Milkmen have perform there, I believe. Nice. Let's think about that. I think I have the picture right there. Wow, look at that. Yeah. And, I mean, a lot of famous go in there. A lot of famous people have gone in there, including me. Yeah. I can see why everybody thought we were a punk. We were a band.
Yeah.
I mean, look at the four of us together. Yeah. Does it not look like... But, guys, it's called Crash Bang Boom. Their website is crashbangboomonline.com. Or you can go to their Facebook, which is Crash Bang Boom Philly.
Man. can I get... I didn't get a beverage. Can you give me 15 seconds to get a beverage real quick?
No, nobody wants you to get a beverage. I'll explain to Mimi LaRue why you are gone. Mimi, what Panic Fest is, it's a horror movie local festival for local artists. I think, Mimi, if I'm correct, is that your mom?
Where?
Mimi LaRue?
Yeah, Mimi LaRue, did she say something?
Yep, here goes. Boom, what is Panic Fest?
Oh, Panic Fest. Oh, Mom, I'll tell you what Panic Fest is. Panic Fest is a film festival. They do sci-fi, thriller, horror, and it was here in Panic City from April 4th to the 10th. I was there most days. And it was great.
Tell her who else is a part of it.
What do you mean? What's a part of it?
You have other family members that are a part of it.
Part of Panic Fest?
Seriously, dude, you got some sisters-in-laws that might be hanging out there. I don't know.
Your sister,
yours.
Oh yeah,
yours.
We came, we came, and also,
Sarah.
Sarah McGuire, friend of the show. She, there were lots of people there, man. It was good times, and I'm sorry, man.
Okay, don't worry. I mean, I thought I was the sick one. You're gonna have to spell things out for me today. I guess we're gonna have to go the other way. Oh, one second. I gotta get some off the shelf over there.
Something.
What was you there?
Yeah, I was there.
Was I there?
Was I there? For, yeah.
I'm sorry. Man, this is my I was there shirt. I couldn't find one at the World. Okay, so there's WrestleMania World. I couldn't find one there in my size. Mm-hmm. And I literally bought one of the $10 ones off of the street.
Yeah.
And then Monday at Monday Night Raw, I finally found one in my size. But now that's over, let's talk about 1.5 million beavers.
Just hundreds, apparently. So this is
1 billion beavers.
This is directed by Mike Cheslick. This writers are Mike Cheslick and Ryan Brixton Cole Twos. And this stars Robin Brixton Cole Twos is Gene Kayak. Olivia Graves is the Furrier. Wes Tank is the Master Fear Trapper. Doug Machinsky as the Merchant. And Luis Rico as the Indian Fur Trapper. There are other people in here, but they are all dressed in costumes. Because hundreds of beavers is like nothing I've ever seen before. But, Neil, why don't you go read the story online for hundreds
of... I can't believe out of all the sound effects, that's the one you went with.
I don't know, man.
I love you to death. All right, let's see. Where is the storyline? I'm looking. I'm waiting. That's... in there. In this 19th century supernatural winter epic, a drunken Applejack salesman must go from zero to hero and become North America's greatest fur trapper by defeating hundreds of beavers for beaver.
For beaver. So this is, man, it's hard to explain what this movie is, because we could say it's silent, we could say things, but it's in black and white, and it's really like watching a live action cartoon.
Yes. Now, I'm going to say some stuff, and when I say this stuff, I want you to settle the fuck down.
Okay. Yeah.
And not jump in any crazy. Don't get too crazy.
I won't.
Don't get crazy. Mm-hmm. When you first go into this movie, you have no idea what the fuck you are watching. Even if we explain it to you 104 times, you are not going to understand what you are watching. But saying that, I even messaged Chris when I started watching this movie. What the fuck did you get me into? why am I watching this movie? Especially when I had like a fever. Like I just want to watch something normal, you know. I just want to watch, like, you know, like give me something like, you know, Roadhouse or Ghostbusters. Sorry. Or, you know, something normal. Something normal. That's not what Chris did. Chris is like, let's give him the most thing that's gonna make him hallucinate dreams for the next 10 years. But all that being said, I would have preferred to seen this in the theater.
Yeah.
This, it could have been 20 minutes shorter. That's my only complaint. Uh-huh. This is usually the kind of platform that runs better when it's in short distances and not a long sprint like this is. Uh-huh. But I am not going to lie. I had a really good time with this movie. Yeah. Like after I got going, and it wasn't I found its pattern or anything like that. It was just like the story finally like made sense to me finally. Like because it is, even though it's very right on what it is supposed to be. you get confused by like all the stuffed animals and all the, you know,
yeah, you like sort of have the... you have to acclimate to what you're actually watching. And once you do, so this was been screening in theater festivals. It came through Screenland. I didn't get a chance to see it, but when I saw those at Screenland, and I got an email from the PR firm, I was like, they give us a screener that asked us we want to talk about it. So I looked at it, and this would have been fun to see in the theater full of people, I think.
Yeah. I would love to see other people's reactions. Because mm-hmm. as much as my reaction is good and fun for me, I love seeing other people's reaction when it comes
to this. This would have been fun movie to see in a full theater. So if it gets right
or, or in a stadium full of 71,343 people.
What was it? So you guys, how far was your hotel or your Airbnb from Western WrestleMania, by the way, just real quick?
It was total of like 11 minutes by Uber.
Oh, you guys took an Uber there. You guys didn't do that. And then they're in their public transit in Philadelphia.
It just didn't work out that way. It just didn't work out that way. Couldn't work out any other way.
So this movie would you say it's fine for the whole family? It's unrated because it's not submitted for the full release yet. But I didn't know until this movie that Applejack was an actual alcoholic beverage.
I actually have some here.
How is it?
I actually have a full bottle. I don't know. I haven't tried it yet. I had it. Me and my wife found it during the holiday season, uh-huh. and you're supposed to keep it warm. It's supposed to be a warm drink.
Yeah.
And we're like, oh, we got to try that. And then we got it. And now every time we look at it, we're just like, I don't know.
But so there's drinking in this, but that's the very beginning. And then after that, it's a bunch of, I'd say one bunch of dead animals, but it's very cute. Every animal you've seen here is dressed as an animal, like in like a mascot costume. And it just sort of ramps up until the end. Neil's right. It does run a little long for this type of format.
My favorite scene, I believe I have a photograph of it. Here it is. Is when they're ripping out the intestines of one of these stuffed animals, but it's all fuzzy intestines.
Yeah, felt and stuff. Yeah, all felt. Yeah, yeah. It's
like, I was just like, all right, I'm down.
It's very funny. I laughed a lot during this movie. We did not laugh a lot, but I laughed a lot because it's really like watching like a fucking Looney Tunes. Like a cartoon.
It really is.
Yeah.
It is. It is like watching is it PG-13 R-rated? What are they?
There's some stuff in here. They're pulling on intestines. There's a, I think they say the fuck.
What are they rated though?
There's no rating for this. This is not rated. No, this is not rated yet. It's unrated.
All right. But anyway, it'll be PG-13 or R-ish. I don't know, because there's no cuss words. There's really no blood and gore, but still there's a lot of I mean, there's one point a chick gets, you know, pretty much butt naked and jumps on a stripper pole.
Yeah, yeah. Which I laughed a lot. It also felt, you know, felt a little bit like Super Mario at points, too. You know? I thought it was fun. But
there's a review. There's a review I read. Mm-hmm. Let me see if I can find it real quick. What's the name of the show?
Name of what? The show?
Yeah, what show are we on?
The movie's on Sucking Something to You.
Oh yeah, forgot about that. The film, which used the composing shot footage, was humorously referencing, it seemed like it was a video game mixed with a Buster Keaton-like or Bruce Campbell-like antics, adding comedy and devilish stunts to plus witty auto bits. Right there. Yeah. That says it.
Yeah, also, like, slapstick. You know, there's a bunch of that. Like, a bunch of slapstick. There's mm-hmm. And it's funny, man. Like, it's a fun movie. Like you said, it is 148 minutes long, which it could have been 130 easy. You know, like.
Yeah.
But there was a lot of fun in this movie. Dad.
I mean, the guy made it for only 150,000.
Yeah,
is that what it said?
Yeah.
150,000.
Yeah, and the mask
that was basically because of the costumes.
Yeah, it cost $10,000 to make a costume. Yeah, man.
Chris, give me your rating, man. Give me your 1 out of 5. What is this, bro? This 0 out of 5.
A 3.7, 3.8. It's a little long, but it's something I haven't seen before. And that says it counts for something, you know?
And Chris, I'm going to be right there with you. Because of the awkwardness, I think we can go a little bit higher. I think I'm going to give this a 3.8. And okay. The reason being is because it's awkward and I love that it's a movie I've never seen before.
Right. So me and Neil, we're at 3.8 for hundreds of viewers. We do recommend it. It's going to be on VOD starting the 15th on Amazon, Amazon Prime and Apple TV. So if you guys want to watch something fucking weird and fun, watch Hundreds of Beavers. RottenTomatoes.com, what is the audience score for Hundreds of Beavers?
Oh, man. They already got scores?
Yeah,
absolutely. I thought this was not available yet.
No, it's available. Right. It did a tour to the U.S., and so a lot of people saw it during the tour.
All right. I am going to have to say it has to be an 85%.
93%.
Oh, you're so close.
Yeah, okay, all right. I'm on the, what's the Creek score for Hundreds of Beavers? You know,
68. 95%. Damn! Certified fresh in the house?
Yeah. Critics' consensus is, sustaining a zany premise of stylistic bravura and inspired gags, Hundreds of Beavers is a comedic gem that gives a damn. I'll read a bad review and a good review. So this is from Luke White Thompson, the AV Club. He says, the viewers are about as sympathetic as the Caddyshack gopher, and John's a nitwit, so the audience's only rooting interest is in seeing how crazy things get. All right, whatever. And this is a
crazy.
Yeah, and this is from Robert Abley of the LA Times. He says, you know, you do well to satisfy your craving for a knockabout lunacy by checking out Hundreds of Beavers. As visionary as Indy and many a moon and damn sight, more fun. So, we like this movie. It's going to be available for VOD starting the 15th. If you're watching this, it'll be ready Sunday. So, if you guys get a chance to check this out, it's fucking wild.
It is pretty wild. It's check it out if you want to see something you've never seen before. That's basically the best way to say it.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm glad that you enjoyed it, even though you were.
You can see it together. You can see it with a friend. You can see it with, you know, people you just met, or you could see it in an arena with 71,243 people.
So, question: navigating that, was it easy? Like getting in with all those people. I mean, did you have exclusive access to the front?
No, you had to go through all. Oh. You have to go down the road and stuff like that. But they did have our own porta potties in an area, so that was cool. So we didn't have to go up for that.
Yeah.
And then we had a beer guy that kept on hitting us up because he knew we were really beer people. But also, besides that, it on the levels, when you're up on the different levels of the arena of the football stadium,
yeah,
that was packed as hell.
Yeah.
Like all the hell. I've never seen anything that packed ever. And I've been to three other WrestleManias. So like literally that was a little much, but as soon as we were in our own areas,
yeah,
but getting food and gear or anything like that, that was hell. Yeah. That was hell. Like we have to wait like 30 minutes in a line to even get near to just getting a hot dog. Ugh. You know what I'm saying? So then we decided to eat way before we got there.
Yeah, yeah, too.
Beer guys on the floor, you know, and stuff like that. But
all right, man.
That's what we did.
Yeah. You got some news queued up for us?
I got some news.
Yeah, it's been a couple weeks.
Let's do it. I know. We'll see what we got. This is the Movies That Don't Suck and Some of the News. I'm going to read stuff to Chris, and he's going to cry like a little baby because he doesn't understand words.
All right. I'm gonna do this.
All right. All right. Well, Chris, this one ain't laughing. This is the way we start it.
Okay. Because
this was just announced a couple hours ago. Francis Ford Coppola's wife of 61 years, Eleanor Coppola, has passed away at the age of 87 years old. If you don't know, she was also a director, a documentary maker as well. She helped with the making of documentary about Apocalypse Now. She did Hearts of Darkness.
Oh, which won Hearts of Darkness is probably my favorite documentary, one of them.
Yeah. She won an Emmy for that. I mean, years and years and years. Go look up her work. Respect the lady. Yeah, yeah. Respect Francis Ford Coppola and his family at the time. Yeah. Our wishes go out to all of them. She is the aunt, if you don't know, of Nicholas Coppola, who everybody doesn't know is Nicholas Cage.
Oh, yeah.
Also, Jason Schwartzman, who is, you know, she's aunt too as well. So, big family in Hollywood. Her art will be missed. And prayer, and good thoughts out to her friends and family.
Yeah, yeah, sure. Rest in peace.
All right. Are you ready for something that's going to blow your mind?
Yeah, yeah.
The last movie we previewed is now the number one most watched original film in all of streaming history. That's right. The good old movie Roadhouse with Jack Gyllenhaal and Conor McGregor has huge success, so much that now even thinking of doing a whole series with good old Jake Gyllenhaal.
Well, I mean, I like Roadhouse. I'd like to see that continue, honestly. Different setting, but still Jake Gyllenhaal just going out there and whooping ass. Yeah, I'd be into that.
And the first, are you ready for this? Mm-hmm. For the first week alone, 1.7 billion.
What? Views of this movie?
Billion. 1.7 billion minutes watched of this movie.
That's a lot of minutes of Roadhouse.
That's insane.
Oh, I mean, good, good for Roadhouse, man. Like, we liked it, you know?
The official title of the movie coming up for the MCU, Thunderbolts, has an asterisk next to it.
Hmm.
And nobody knows why. And Kevin Feige says you won't know until the movie comes out. There's a big hoopla around it. A lot of people have been freaking out over it. And I don't know what to think about that. So
it says Thunderbolts asterisk? Is that what it shows?
Yeah, there's an asterisk on the end of Thunderbolts.
Oh, that's weird. I wonder what that means for people. But we'll find out.
Yeah, I know. Then, all the movies that Netflix is in the works of remaking and rebooting, they are sending the originals back out to the movie theaters.
Okay.
So movies like Dune, Beverly Hills Cop, 16 Candles, Footloose, Beverly Hills Cop, all those cult classics, Nightmare on Elm Street, all those movies that they're working on trying to make. Oh, and also The Natural and this is Spinal Tap are all going out to the movie theaters again.
Well,
so they want to get people hyped up because they're remaking and redoing reboots and sequels to all those films.
I'm going to pivot real quick to Panic Fest. In Panic Fest, I got to see Nightmare on Elm Street with Heather Langenkamp, the lead of that movie. And that was
really that's cool. Amazing.
Yeah, she was she told much stories about on the set. All right, Neil.
Yeah, I'm gonna go kill myself now.
You would have loved it. I know you would have.
I mean, I wish I could have just like been within hand's reach of like The Rock or something. But I guess seeing Nightmare on Elm Street would have been best. Let's continue with a little bit of the MCU news real quick. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people are upset about this. I guess this happened about 10 days ago, but we haven't talked about it, so let's do it. So if you know Julia Garner, she was she's the girl from Ozarks, plays, you know, the girl that, you know, lives in the trailers mm-hmm. with all her family, and what's she's always the one that helps. Julia Garner.
Okay, gotcha. Oh, this is Julia Garner.
Yeah, no. Julia Garner will be playing the Silver Surfer. They are flipping it and making it a female Silver Surfer. So she's going to be Shala Blah in the upcoming, which means if there's a Silver Surfer, this announces who is the villain in the Fantastic Four movie.
Who?
Like the only biggest fucking villain in all of goddamn MCU.
I was hoping I was waiting for you to announce it because that's your thing.
Galactus, one of my favorite villains in all of comic books. They've never got him right on any form whatsoever, except for the animated series Silver Surfer. If you ever seen that, they're made by the same people that did the original X-Men. It's a good one season series. Go watch it. But Galactus, seriously, I can't wait.
He was in the Eternals, right? He was in the Eternals, wasn't he?
No, he wasn't in the Eternals. No. Don't you ever say. Jafar Bardem is the top choice right now for Galactus.
You mean Javier Bardem, you mean?
Yeah, I'm sorry, Javier. I'm sorry, guys. I'm literally still got a temperature, and so you already guys know how much I fuck up names. Yeah. So, Javier Bardem is literally the guy that's the name is going around. Kevin Smith is coming out with a new movie. And it's going to be called The 4:30 Movie. It's an upcoming of age comedy set in the summer of 1986, featuring a story of love and friendship. The film stars Austin Cesare, Nicholas Caloria, Reed Northup, and Shina Ongadong, making a departure from his iconic Jane Silent Bob duo. There will be no Jane Silent Bob in this. This will be just a nice, great comedy of coming to age film.
In the 80s. So
I hope it works out.
It's going to look like 16 Candles to us because it's in the 80s. So it'll be fun.
Chris.
Yes.
Are you ready?
I'm ready. I was born ready.
Do you need... You have a choice, Chris. You can take the blue pill and go back to sleep and none of this ever happened. Or you can take the red pill and see how far the rabbit hole goes.
Okay. I might take the red pill. But, yeah.
The Matrix 5 is now in works. The Martian writer, Drew Goddard, is now working on the fifth movie with Lana Wachowski.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're working on it. The story hinted at an original cast involvement. So they're probably going to move away from Neo and all that.
Well... I don't know, man. I remember I had a rant that probably went on for 10 minutes or like 8 minutes about the Matrix 4 when we talked about it. I remember I got done and I was like, are you done? Because you talked for like 5 minutes straight. I had thoughts on it. And my thoughts on the fifth, I really don't care about the fifth one. But they're making it. So, whatever. I mean, what are your thoughts on the fifth Matrix?
Yeah. One of my favorite things when all the Matrix, the original Matrix, came out was a little animated film called The Animatrix.
Yeah, yeah, I got that over here. Right,
which had little shorts in it. Yeah, it's one of those that had the little shorts in it for people at home. It has little shorts in it that of stories that happen within the Matrix. If they could get some time like that kind of feeling in a movie and not just try to do the shoot 'em up,
yeah,
kind of movie, yeah, then I'm all down for it. Because the Animatrix reminds me of like a Black Mirror or what
Love, Death, Room Robots.
401 or Love, Death, and Robots. There we go. Great, great, exactly. That is, those are awesome because it's creative, it's new, it's something different. If you just give me shoot 'em up, Agent Smith bullshit over and over and again, I'm not gonna care. I'm not gonna care anymore.
Yeah, so
I'm gonna be done.
I wasn't a fan of the fourth Matrix 4, whatever it's called, like Reloaded again or whatever. But, yeah, I mean, we do a movie podcast. We're going to have to fucking talk about it. So, a lot of people were like, you going to see that? I'm like, yeah, I have to do this for the show. So.
Right. And, so, all right. Do you like DC movies? I know you don't. But anyway. So secretly, nobody knows this, but secretly, for the past couple weeks, all the DC movies have been disappearing from all the platforms.
So, like, that means like everything has gone off HBO Max and stuff?
It's just Max.
Okay.
It's
not HBO. Sorry. Yeah. Everything's just around Max and stuff.
I saw this heated argument between wrestlers about that on a show the other night. Anyway. Yeah. So they are going to be doing the Disney approach.
Okay.
They're going to throw things in the vault.
Oh.
And in a couple of years, they're going to release them out for people to watch them.
Do you mean like a DC like a subscription service thing again?
No, okay. It's they're just not going to put them out there in the public because they're trying to figure out some way to be different than Marvel.
I see. So they're basically making it like we're resetting.
They've took them off. They've took them off of Netflix. They've taken them off of Disney Plus. They've taken them off of on Max. They've been taking them off. And people just now began to notice.
Is the Harley Quinn series still on Max? That's what I don't know.
It better be. Better be. I haven't checked. Because if it's not, man, I will kill a motherfucker.
I know you like that.
I will kill him. I will kill them all to death. And then, all right. Let's talk real quick about trailers.
Trailers.
Me and you. Some couple of trailers came out in the last week. Let's talk about two of them in specifically.
Okay.
One, I know you've had seen it. Maxine's trailer came out.
Mad Scenes?
Maxine?
Oh, yeah. I forgot I saw that. Yeah. That's what we saw.
I'm the sick one.
Yeah. Maxine, the trailer looks like it's weird because it makes it look like a crime thriller, doesn't it?
Yes. I'm all for it.
Yeah.
Because. Because it gives us a different, because that's what worked with X and Pearl.
They're different.
Is that they're different.
Yeah.
They're completely different. And you're giving us a third movie that's going to link them all together. And it's a criminal mystery documentary kind of. I love it. I love all the above.
I can't wait.
Now, let's talk about the other trailer that came out.
Okay.
I'm not even going to try to pronounce the second part of it, but it's the Joker sequel.
Folie do or something like that.
Yeah,
I saw that.
What's your thoughts on that?
So it's interesting in the fact that I don't know if they need to make a sequel, but Tom Phillips said it's a musical, but it'll make sense when you see it. Everyone would think it's actually a musical, but. But I don't know exactly what it's going to be like. I'm interested, but I don't know, man. I didn't really think we needed a sequel for this movie, and I don't know if maybe they jumped the shark, but I don't know. Fully I do. Joker, fully I do. It's the sequel to Joker, the thing they said wouldn't have a sequel. And now it's almost done. It'll be here in September, I think. Right?
And my thing is this, man.
It's not your Joker. Not your Joker. Not the one that
it's you not want. My Joker.
Yeah.
I like the Joker movie. Not my Joker. Mm-hmm. And in that universe, it all works out. Let's just follow the story. If it's good, it's good. If it at least makes sense. Like if, as long as it's like, doesn't show a superhero who's a crippled after 5 weeks of being a superhero and kills every person that he meets, you know, if it makes sense,
Yeah, we'll find out October 4th.
All right.
Yeah.
So let's see. I know I'm running a little long, but okay. We knew it would because, yeah. You know, we haven't talked about news. So I'm going to cut a couple things real quick, and I'm just going to talk about all the happy, good stuff. OJ's dead. That's happy. Let's talk about that. He's good. Good times.
Yeah, OJ's gone.
Sorry to the kids. You know, he has kids. He has kids, right?
I don't know.
Sorry to the kids if you ever hear this, but the bastard did kill your mama. Hope he has fun in hell. That exactly. All right. So this is going to basically be like a bunch of movie announcements, I figure, is where we're going to go with this. Let's get this other one out of the way. Jonathan Majors, found guilty. Will be serving a year of community service for his violent acts. Everybody is asking for the guy who plays in the new Fallout series. If you've not seen the Fallout series, you've wasted your life. And since that came out, me and my wife have one episode left, and I've been sick as fuck since I got back. That show is amazing. Go fucking watch that tonight. Okay. If you ever like the Fallout series, watch it now. This second. This very fuck us. Turn us off. Go watch them. Chris, get back here. What are you doing?
No, sorry.
Oh. But anyway, John Fumacious found guilty. All right. Cast news. Jeremy Allen White has been cast as the boss himself, Bruce Springsteen, an upcoming movie called Nebraska.
Yeah. Okay,
so whatever. Jeremy Allen White's knocking everything. Huh?
So they're going to talk about the making of that album, probably. Jeremy Allen White said, because all biopics nowadays, they still always seem to focus on like a pivotal moment of an artist's life. So I guess they'll be making a Nebraska, which, hey man, I'm all about that. I'm all about it.
And plus, it's Jeremy Allen White. Guy's amazing. He's knocked everything out of the park so far. What can we say? Batman Beyond is getting the green light. They released the minute long footage that the animators did to get the green light. Mm. Yes, we want this. I watched it earlier today. We want this. It's awesome. You can find the footage. I know it's on movieweb.com that I saw, but go for Batman Beyond footage. All right, here we go. New movies being made.
Okay.
Blair Witch Project by Blumhouse is in new reboot of the Blair Witch Project is in the works by Blumhouse and Lionsgate working together.
Interesting, because I saw the Blair Witch Project also at PanFest. They had the director and Michael from it, and they didn't mention that at all, which is cool. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that they wanted to say something, but you know.
Yeah, this was 2 days ago. They just announced this. Okay. They said that they're going to be trying to get back to the success that originally happened. Mm. All right, let's go here. What's this? That one I opened on accident. Stanley Kubrick's debut film has been restored to its original version and is now streaming. So you can go see Kubrick's 1953 war film, Fear and Desire, which is considered one of the best movies of all time. The original 70-minute version of Fear and Desire was recently discovered and has been remade. Is now streaming. It's not saying where it's streaming at. It's not saying where it's streaming. But go look it up. Stanley Kubrick, if you like him. Kubrick is literally one of the best directors in the history of everything.
Yeah.
Arguably.
I agree.
Amy Adams is going to be in a horror movie called Night Bitch. It'll be coming out in December. The film could be a dark horse hit for Adams in a horror genre, offering a unique look. It's a stay-at-home mom turning into a dog at night. Nice. Go Amy Adams. Renee Zellweger, Hugh Grant, and Emma Thomas have all signed back on. And the name of it, yes, the Bridget Jones movie I announced last month, is called Bridget Jones, Mad About the Boy. Emma Thompson, Hugh Grant, Renee Zellweger. I'll go see it.
Do you like those movies? To watch it.
Your mom likes those movies. They're good movies. All right. Five Nights at Freddy's has got the green light. Five Nights at Freddy's 2 is on its way out the door. Cool. Awesome. Boom. Gone. Let's not talk too much more about that. Glenn Powell has been tapped to star in Edgar Wright's adaptation of Stephen King's remake, The Running Man. They said that wrong. It's not Stephen King's The Running Man.
No.
Who wrote The Running Man?
I don't know.
Richard Bachman.
I was like, but when they do it now, when they republish it, is it under Stephen King or is it Richard Bachman?
I have no idea. I haven't looked. But Richard Bachman was Stephen King, if you guys don't know that. Back in the day when they had Emerson's. Mm-hmm. The Scary Movie series is getting a complete reboot, and it's under development from Paramount and Miramax.
Okay. I don't know if that actually needs a remake, but okay.
A new installment will hit theaters in Halloween season of 2025.
Okay, next year. Oh, we got time.
All right. It's hard to figure out of the next three. It's hard to figure out which one should be the last one I tell you.
Oh yeah.
All right. Okay. Ooh. All right. We'll go with the one I think you'll think is less interesting.
Okay.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles has gotten the green light for a new film, but it's not G. It's not PG. It's not PG-13. It will be a hard R Ninja Turtles movie.
Okay, I'm interested. I thought you were going to say it's not PG, not R.
Gory.
Rated X. Yeah, Gory, I'm looking for that. I mean, it got the green light. Is it going to be live action?
It's going to be based off of The Last Rohan. If you don't know what that is, it's pretty much all the Ninja Turtles die during it. Mm-hmm. Splinter's dead, all the Ninja Turtles dead. And the last Ninja Turtle standing is Michelangelo.
What?
So Michelangelo Michelangelo isn't like all happy pizza cowabunga dude. Michelangelo, he's like, everybody I know is dead now. I must hold the sacred, you know, like it's very dark. Go read the comics if you get a chance to, guys. All right. Chris Farley, the biopic has been greenlit. The director will be Josh Gad, the guy who does the voice of Olaf in Frozen, or, you know, Hot Tub Time Machine. I can't remember everything the dude's been in. But the man playing Chris Farley is Paul Walter Hauser, also known from, what's everything he's been in?
I don't know.
Like, what's all the stuff that dude's been in? Like, he was the one that was in the Bomb movie. He was the one that broke the legs in I, Tonya. He was the guy that was...
Apparently he's a professional wrestler.
I'm trying to remember every movie that... Yeah, he's in, like, so many different movies.
Oh, Richard Jewell. He played Richard Jewell in Richard Jewell, that movie. He was in Black Klansman. He was in Defy Bloods. He was in Cruella.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah he's a...
Cruella, there's another one that he said that was famous. Yeah. Like, so that is your lineup for the Chrisville and Chris Farley movie. I'm down for that. I feel like they're going to give it the love it deserves.
I listened to Adam Sandler's song about Chris Farley like yesterday, crying my desk.
Oh, God. Every time.
Yeah.
Every time. last but not least, you might have already heard of this, but I put it in the news segment. It did come out a couple days ago. Dune 3, Messiah, has been greenlit. We are going to get the complete trilogy of the Dune series.
All right, man. I really hope the third one's as good as the last one, because it's going to be hard to beat, because Dune Part 2 was so fucking good. Ugh, so good.
I mean, maybe it just goes up. Yeah. Maybe it just keeps on going up.
Yeah. All right, man. Is that
right?
Is
and that, that's the news, Chris.
That's the news. All right. Let's,
That is the movies don't suck and something news. I told Chris a bunch of stuff because he's blind in both eyes since that accident with the acid.
So is it? You can't mute it, by the way.
What?
You can't mute it when you do that. Yeah. So yeah, when you do that, when you cough it up, you spit it out. I know you had it in your mouth.
No, I don't have anything in my mouth. See?
Okay. All right, so we're talking about Bob Marley, One Love. This is directed by Ronaldo Marcus Green. He's directed such things as Monsters and Men, King Richard, the movie with Will Smith before we won Oscar that time, but earlier that evening he slapped Chris Rock, and that was some fucked up shit to see. This is written by Zach Baylin, Terrence Winter, Freaky Flowers. This stars Kingsley Benadire as Bob Marley.
Friends, yes, ma'am. I am his friend, and that is why I am trying to give him a wake-up call.
Also, Lashana Lynch as his wife, Rita Marley.
Look, this all seems like heaven.
James Norton plays Chris Blackwell.
If I ask for leave, I will take care of the children.
Also, Anthony Welch plays Don Taylor.
I got mix-up.
This also stars Tosin Cole as Tyrone Downey, Umi Myers as Cindy Breakspear. Michael Gandolfini, the son of the late James Gandolfini, plays Howard Bloom. Alex Hagen plays Pierre Tosh. And there's all types of people that you recognize in this. Neil, what is the storyline for Bob Marley, One Love?
The story of how reggae icon Bob Marley overcame adversity and the journey behind the revolutionary music.
So before reading this, Neil, what do you think of Bob Marley's music? Are you a fan of Bob Marley?
I mean, that one time when he did my, my bar mitzvah, he was awesome.
Not that, but I think you're thinking of a different Bob Marley. What do you think of? I don't think you're Jewish either. Are you? You're not Jewish.
I'm not any of that. That's why all that was funny, Chris. It's called a joke. You know, what I think of Bob Marley, if you don't like Bob Marley, at least a couple of his songs, at least something, mm-hmm. if you don't every now and then go, I shot the sheriff, yeah. or if you don't go, jamming in the night away, jamming for one love, one life. Like, if you don't have that funk, that jazz in your hips, I feel sorry for whoever you're in the bedroom with.
Yeah, Bob Marley is dude's a visionary. And this movie only covers from the time to his first attempt at a Pete's concert to his last time at Pete's concert in Jamaica. Covers that 5 or 6 years in between that.
Yeah.
It's not a comprehensive biopic as saying from child to adulthood until his death in 1981. It just covers that. Just covers probably the most pivotal time of his career. And I liked it, man. I did like this movie.
I liked it, and I didn't like it.
Okay. Can we talk about what you liked first?
Sure.
Acting was great.
Person, places, things were awesome.
Yeah.
It was good. I think the movie stopped too early.
Yeah. You could have gone another hour, maybe.
No. I don't mean the time frame wise.
Okay.
As the story itself stopped a little too early.
Okay.
I think it needed to set up one of the biggest events that Bob Marley was a big part of, which is creating peace between you know, the different sides mm-hmm. of the Jamaican warfare. I think they should have set that up more mm-hmm. because that was a very pivotal time, and not just Bob Marley's history, but the history of the world.
Yeah.
Because of them, literally a civil war stops. I mean, that's a pivotal point of history, man. That's like doing a, you know, an Abe Lincoln movie, and you just completely just throw out that whole Civil War thing. You know?
Yeah, so I do think that a lot of people were complaining that it didn't show enough of this creative process, and I thought we got enough of that. I really liked the scene with a kid with Exodus. That was a cool scene.
Yeah, I thought, yeah, especially with the what they call him, Perm Head, I think was his nickname that they gave him.
Yeah.
And kind of gave a little bit of like, oh, hey, this is how we do it. He's like, well, this is how I do it. And I thought it was really good. Also, the fact that I researched Rastafari and stuff like that, and knowing that all this time, it wasn't the, it was y'all. And I just thought, like, y'all people need to make it right. Like, I thought it was the people got to make it right, but that's just a Jamaican accent. Yeah. You know?
It's just Jah's the name of God.
But Jah's the name of their God, or, you know, Savior, or whatever.
Rastafari's also with Haile Selassie, who was emperor of Ethiopia, was the second coming.
He was considered the second coming or whatever, 1920s or something like that.
Yeah.
But so that was cool facts to learn. But I thought they could just fit. I don't think it was creative. I think really, I don't know. The creative part, I thought they gave us enough of that. The only thing, my biggest problem is the guy who played Bob Marley was not dirty enough.
Not dirty enough.
Look at him. All right, let's do side by side. That guy. All right. Nothing against his acting. His acting was great.
But his dreads are too nice. Is that what you're saying?
His whole appearance was too nice.
He was looking.
He looks like that rich guy that put on some dreadlocks and is like, I'm gonna be Bob Marley for Halloween, bro.
I mean, yeah.
And everybody's like,
Look how uniform all the dreads are. Like, when you see people with dreadlocks, they got big ones, they got fat ones, they got ones that are wiggling. Look at, you know, they're not.
Yeah, look how Bob's is. Look how the actual Bob's is.
Yeah.
You know, like, and that's my complaint, is the fact that he looked like a guy, a rich guy that goes to a Halloween costume contest at, like, you know, at his dad's law firm, dressed like Bob for Marley, and not. He didn't make me feel like he was Bob Marley.
You want better. You want different dreads. I get you.
But not different dreads. It was him in particular, period.
Okay.
Like, all right. If you do a movie about Rob Zombie, let's throw Rob Zombie out there.
Okay.
All right. And you clean him up so he doesn't have to scuffle on the side or his beard isn't all tangling. You clean him up and you make him look really nice and stuff like that. Then all of a sudden, and you have someone like, I don't know, let's get a pretty boy out of the thing. Timothy Chalamet.
Okay.
All right. Timothy Chalamet.
With
dreadlocks on his head and a little beard and stuff. He's not gonna make me feel like the essence of Rob Zombie.
You're right, because Kingsley.
And I know
Kingsley being a dude is very good looking. Yeah, he's very good looking. The lead character.
Yeah, and that's the thing. He was just way too good looking. And that's the thing. I think this is the problem I've had with all the music bios. I think this is all coming full circle to me now. Because Austin Butler made sense, because Elvis was known to be a sex idol, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, Austin Butler was very sexy.
But, yeah, Taron Egerton playing Elton John. Elton John was balding, a little chubby until he got a little older and, you know, got the cocaine habit and stuff like that. But
he's way better looking than Elton John.
Yeah. Rami Malek playing Freddie Mercury. Freddie Mercury was a good looking guy in a way.
Yeah.
But
Rami Malek's better looking than
Rami Malek's a different level of good looking.
Yeah.
So I think we need to chill our fucking tits on some of this, guys. All right. Even if we go a recent movie that has nothing to do with music, but Iron Claw, where you have Zac Efron playing Kevin Von Erich. Kevin Von Erich was one of the better looking of the freaking Von Erich brothers.
But
he's not even five levels near what a Zac Efron is, you know? And I'm not trying to be a dick.
Yeah.
I know all these actors are good looking people and they're just doing them. And the acting is great. And that's what makes it and stuff like that. But sometimes it makes it so that these people, these legends are unreachable.
So you're saying that
when they're very reachable,
we have these actors that they're part of the reason why they're popular is because they're pretty attractive. Like, I mean, that's what would be an actor. That's kind of what you need.
Right. And I understand they want to take roles of these legends.
Yeah.
But most of these legends were not good looking people. They were just really fucking talented.
Well, I wouldn't call Bob Marley ugly.
I'm not saying he's ugly. I'm not.
You're saying Kingsley Brigadier is very attractive. That's what you're saying.
Yeah. I'm also saying Bob Marley didn't shower often.
Yeah, I mean, with dreads, you can't. You know what I mean?
I mean, they even made it a point about his infected toe.
Man, that was so gross. Oh my God, that was so disgusting.
Yeah, and he did not shower a lot. I mean, and it's not him as a person. It's just that's the culture he's part of.
Yeah.
And stuff. And I'm not saying that's dirty, wrong, or anything like that. I'm not pointing one thing out of the other. I'm just saying it looks like, you know, it looked like good old Kinsley was getting skin treatments in between each take. But anyway, but besides that, all right, let's get to the good part of this.
Okay.
The acting was great. Yeah. The acting was great. The storyline was pretty cool. I just wish they would have gone, man, 30 minutes longer in the movie or made that ending part of the movie.
I was definitely engaged the whole time. During this movie.
Yeah,
there was no time I was like, I didn't look at my phone at any point, I don't think. Which is, hey, that's something to bring up now. But this movie, it was good. I enjoyed it, but I do know that people, if we're going to be super film critics about it, it's not as cohesive as it could be. It's also does nothing really new with the, I guess, the biopic. Not that I need something new with something like this, because I enjoyed it, and I like Bob Marley, so I was stoked to see his story told, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. And it's a feel of great music, obviously. His music is also all throughout, so you're going to get your head bobbing quite a bit during this whole thing. But, yeah, man.
You just got to stand up, kind of, stand up for your rights.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But, you know, it did bring it through. I thought there'd be more weed smoking in it. They mentioned it once or twice.
They're smoking weed the whole movie. What are you talking about?
But it's PG-13, so how much weed could they really show? You know what I mean?
There's so many. They didn't call it weed. They're just sitting there, you know, passing it, smoking it everywhere, and they just didn't call it weed. Or a person would just be smoking a joint by themselves and not passing it,
you know, it's near the beginning, like the very first scene, you see Bob Marley in a car smoking a joint while he's driving with his kids. I'm like, is that okay?
Yeah. Oh, it's perfectly fine.
Yeah. But, yeah, man.
Is that what you're supposed to do?
I didn't know. I did like the, I liked most this movie, you know? But you, I think it ended like at a point you're like, that's how it ends? You're going to show me like pictures and shit? Like, I don't know. But Bob Marley won.
I like how they ended it. And I think they should have given us a little bit more.
Yeah.
About it. Like all the stuff at the end. I really want to see that stuff. because that is the stuff that, you know, is the legend of Bob Marley. I love they show us how he comes from point A to point B. But, man, I really wanted to see point B to point C. Because those last couple years of his life, he did some very, very important work in the world.
Yep. Yeah, it's what it was. The movie came out. And, yeah, Bob Marley's family was involved in making this. So so that was how they got the rights to the music. You know, what's your score on Bob Marley One Love?
I think it's a good movie. I'll give it 3.5. I'm not going to give it higher than that. Mm-hmm. And the reason being is, again, the parts I wanted to see about the Bob Marley story is the things of history that he did a major part of. They show a glimpse of that, and they're trying to show more of the creative part of him. It's not the way I would want to go in a Bob Marley movie, because I want to show the work that he did. It's just like, hey, man, let's do a George Washington movie, but don't have anything involved with the Declaration of Independence. You know, like, you know, yeah, he had a great life all the way up that and even after that. Mm-hmm. But let's not show any of that. It's like some of those key points, I feel like, especially when you're doing bio movies, you have to put those in.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, like if you do a Hulk Hogan bio movie, you're not going to not show the first time you won a title, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. There's a whole lot of things that Bob Marley did that they didn't mention. Like, example, like they did mention once that his trip to Africa, but that's the, mm-hmm. it was a sentence. It wasn't anything.
Yeah. It was just, it was an afterthought. And those things meant a lot.
Yeah.
In not just his world. But, like, I mean, there's books written about the stuff he did.
Yeah.
And just, like, and things he did in, like, a week, you know?
So you're 3.5, I'm 3.6 on this one. I'm going to run to me. I was like, how was the audience score for Bob Marley One Love?
I am going to definitely have to say, man, I'm going to say 72%.
92%.
Wow!
There's audience says, too. Audience says, Bob Marley One Love is a moving glimpse into the brief period of the singer's life, especially for viewers who don't already know a lot about him. All right. What was the critic score for Bob Marley One Love?
84%.
43%.
Wow. They went way down.
Critics' consensus is, Kingsley Benadire does an admirable job in the central role, but Bob Marley One Love is ultimately a standard biopic, doesn't do justice to its brilliant subject, which is, I think, your call.
I think that's what my and I hate that I'm agreeing with freaking critics like that, but like, yeah, that's my thing too. Like, as much, and I don't care about the creative process of him making music. That's awesome. Everybody has their own different creative process, and that's great. Show me a little bit of that, but I want to see that cool stuff that he did that changed the fucking world.
Okay, so here is a good review and a bad review. The good review is Dwight Brown of Dwight Brown Inc. says, it's a worthy addition that features doc series and books that we can see toward the facets of the reggae superstar's existence. This may not be the ultimate Marley narrative, but this project respectfully keeps his memory and mission alive. And this next one is actually from Jake Wilson of The Age, and I think that you would agree with this. Is considering this unlikely to be the last attempt to dramatize Marley's life story, next time it wouldn't hurt if a Jamaican filmmaker had to go, which would actually be interesting. They'd actually be interested in showing that part that had changed Jamaica, you know, like when it came to Bob Marley, because you were saying that he did a whole lot of cool, like, earth-shaking stuff they don't explore well enough into the movie. So
right.
And so, yeah, this is Bob Marley One Love. It's on Paramount Plus if you guys want to go watch it. I think it's also on VOD if you don't want to subscribe for that, but it's okay. It's not the shittiest. I was engaged the whole time, and I thought Kingsley Benadire did a good job. But Neil also has a problem with all the biopics where they have extremely good looking playing just regular looking folk. So,
like here's a good review of it here too. I just found this one, right?
Yeah.
Damn it, I love professional wrestling. This is what I think about WrestleMania 40. Now that doesn't mean 39 and 38 wasn't getting back to gold standard because they were great matches such as Seth versus Cody. But man, this was the first one without the thumbprint of Vince McMahon. And boy, as hell, damn it, I love professional wrestling. Thank you. And thank you for making this event happen. Seriously.
Is that something you're going to mention on your other podcast?
I haven't started that because what I was going to do is I was going to start that when I was there.
Were you sick as shit now?
And then, you know, I was getting sick there. I mean, I've been sick for like a week and a half, bro. I mean, like, and I just didn't have the energy to do it.
Yeah.
Like, I wanted to do it, but, you know, you're going... What I'd be awake by noon, would have to get food, water, shower for people in a building, getting all ready, then have to get down there by like 2-3 o'clock. You're going to the first event. Then after that, you got to go to the next event. Then you got to go to WrestleMania. As soon as you're done with WrestleMania, your adrenaline's going 105 miles an hour. Got to wait like at least an hour or two until Ubers go down in price. And then, so you get a couple drinks and by the time you get back to the apartment, it's 3-4 o'clock in the morning. Then you want to watch WrestleMania that you just went to, or the wrestling event you just went to. You're going to watch an hour or two of that. Then it's going to be like 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock in the morning. You got to go to bed, get back up and go again. Like literally, there is a good video of CM Punk, on Sunday doing an event. He goes, and he has like bags under his eyes. And he's like, has anyone else only had 4 hours sleep in the last 3 days?
Yeah.
And he goes, now you know why I've had bags under my eyes for 30 years.
Like, so there is this song by Operation Ivy called Healthy Body, Sick Mind. And the thing is, the song talks about how this guy's running himself ragged. And he's taking vitamins, but he's running and he's working 8 hours. And it's just a matter of time, sick body, sick mind. Which means, you know, like you run yourself too ragged, you're going to get sick. And that's what happened.
I don't know, man, because I'm the only one that got sick in my group.
Yeah.
And so it's like, it's just funny. It's like, how am I the sick guy? I was the one that was trying to get as much sleep as possible. I was trying to eat salads and not just Philly steaks and pizza. You know, I'm the one that was trying to stay healthy, but yet here I am.
All right, man. Well, you guys can find us on whosunsuck.network at facebook.com/ Who's on the podcast? We're in X and just podcast. You guys want to see some pictures from Pankfest last week? Go ahead and check out that feed because I was actually using it. Go to Instagram at NTS Podcast. One Patreon, go to patreon.com/ Who's on the Suck. You'll find gives Neil $3 to get himself a salad or maybe it's something else. I don't know. Go to bonfire.com/ Who's on the Suck and send you. You'll find merch for us there. Our shirts, like 3 or 4 shirts of us and a bunch of stuff Neil has made. And we find podcasts where movies don't suck and some that do. Neil, if you got a small business, what would we do for you?
If you got a small business, give us your information. You can email a message to it. You can tattoo it on Chris's forehead. And we'll be more than happy to celebrate you right here on Movies That Don't Suck and Some That Do, free of charge, just because we want to support you, just like we did today for our Fringe at Crash Bang Boom.
All right, Neil, you ready to get out of here?
Let's get out of here. That's another episode of Movies Don't Suck and Some Do. My name's Neil.
And I'm Chris.
Remember, guys, no matter how good of a day you have, remember, if you want her love, you must slay 100 beavers. Have a good day.